Standing at another threshold, hearing your voice call me to your side. There's no other voice I'll follow. My shepherd, you're the place that I abide. There's no reason I should tarry. Yesterday's gone, I must carry on. Though I don't know about tomorrow, I know that we are headed straight for home. Where else can I drink living water? Where else can I hear words of life? How else can I know for sure I'm traveling your way? Unless I go, unless I follow every step you take. Knowing there's no other doorway makes it clearer how to make a choice. Mostly in the secret still place, I wait and work until I hear your voice. Be down and fearful, thinking I'm the one that needs to know. Why should I wonder why and worry, knowing that my shepherd loves me so? Where else can I drink living water? Where else can I hear can I know for sure I'm traveling your way? Unless I go, unless I follow every step you take. Where else can I drink living water? Where else can I hear I follow every step you take?
God made us to commune with Him, to walk with Him, to enjoy walking through life with Him, working with Him, laughing, crying, all the things we experience to do with Him. That's His design, and to enjoy His design in everything. I mean, it's already made. He made it for our enjoyment, our good, our enjoyment together, that we would both enjoy it. Living our life separate from Him and just guessing and faking it all the time, that's an abortion of His design for us. And if we're paying attention, pretty soon we realize that it's pretty empty. It never brings quite the fulfillment that it seems like it should. Every step we take is really a threshold. Because of our fallen nature and His redemption, His fix of that, it's our choice at every step to realize it's a threshold through which we can discover incredible new vistas of reality, of what truly is, and what truly is productive and works with the rest of creation, rather than pushing and pulling and trying to make it work the way we expect it to. So every threshold, actually life seems closed in. And some things seem totally impossible to change. But if we're looking for Jesus, the one who fixed it all, he'll make a doorway right in the middle of the brick wall and call us through. And the hard part, or the difficulty, I guess, unless you start to realize how beautiful, how joyful it really is to come through new thresholds toward him, the hard part is that you can't bring the old stuff with you. You can't bring the broken stuff and mix it with the real thing. It only would corrupt the real thing. And what he wants us to be full of is the real thing. When you take the next step, take it with him. Take it in obedience to his call. Take it following him. And when you think about it, like Peter, where else would we go? He's the only one. He's the only truth, the way. He's the life. No one else has the words of life. Kelly Willard is my guest today. I've loved this lady for a long time. And I'm not alone. There's thousands of us that have loved this lady because of what came through her that affected our lives. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you, Terry. I'm glad to be here.
Very glad. I'm glad we're both alive at this point. That's kind of miraculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
After all the stuff that we've
been through.
Where we've been, what we've been through, and all that.
Yes.
You've seen hard times, but you've seen some glorious times in the Lord's presence.
Yes.
Too, and maybe at the same time. I mean, that happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Tell me, what's the biggest thing that caused you to know that you were going to be a voice for a heart after God? Do you remember that?
Well, I really honestly didn't know. I enjoyed being in bands. I enjoyed being in the background. I enjoyed doing background vocals, playing keyboards. And I had a few songs, you know.
Where were you living then? Where were you originally from?
Well, I'm originally from Florida.
Yeah.
But I moved from Oklahoma to California in 1977.
Wow.
And I stopped by the Maranatha Studios when they were being built. Mm-hmm. And Tommy was there. Jonathan David Brown is the one that had me come by.
Yeah.
Tommy Coombs was there. And I guess Jonathan had been bending his ear about me, you know, mm-hmm. which was very nice of him. So the day I stopped by, Tommy knew I was there and came in to meet me and asked me to sit down at the piano and play him some of my songs. And really, Terry, I only had about three or four songs, mm-hmm. really. So, I mean, I had no idea what was ahead. He seemed to enjoy the songs. And then Dan and I decided to move to California, which was 77. And I began to be asked to play on different things, like play on Karen Lafferty's
yeah.
Sweet Communion album and uh-huh. sing back up on it and sing back up for Bob Bennett's albums and Roby
so
Duke.
So you were just as strong a musician as you were a singer.
Probably stronger because I really had only done backgrounds up to that point. I would say about a year after we moved out here, about 1978, Tommy and Maranatha Music approached me and asked if I would like to do a solo album. I was pretty blown away by that. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I had a few more songs. Not yeah. very many, but enough to fill an album, 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where I began singing, like you said, as a voice, a solo artist. And then I was blessed mm-hmm. to be received by so many through radio, airplay, and
well,
concerts.
People were bowled over. You weren't just received. The spirit that came through your song and the vocal was beyond, I mean, it was so timely. It was just the right flavor, just the right, the Lord just timed it so perfectly
Praise.
That it broke through some barriers. It was almost like they weren't even there. It was just melted them like butter.
Praise the Lord, man. That is cool.
Anybody I talk to has the same story.
Praise
that's
God.
An incredible power.
Wow.
It's the Lord's power.
Oh, yes.
But obviously, and already you've revealed that you weren't pushing it. You weren't scheming.
No.
And that's the qualification, isn't it? For the Lord to really pour it on.
I think it's a lot better way for things to happen than to be having to knock on all the doors. But I just see it as a gift. It was just God.
Well, it was a gift to me because you sung my heart.
That's
see, and
wonderful.
That's what you were doing for so many. And you just revealed that there was sometimes when I
you
returned
were singing
the favor.
Mine, yeah.
And that's a real pleasure to me to hear. Now, when you first started that and you had the album and there was such a great response to it, that brought us into what was then the contemporary Christian music ministry change into business. How did you handle that?
I pretty much steered clear of big anything. I mean, I don't know why, except that I wasn't asked, number one, by a lot of companies.
Yeah.
I had done a second album with Maranatha Music. And that was Willing Heart, my second mm-hmm. album, and that was 1980.
Yeah.
So I had done two albums for Maranatha, and probably a lot of people just saw me as a Maranatha artist, you know, and I was kind of glad.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to stay simple and straight ahead and be able yeah. to go where people called for me to go.
Yes.
not have some kind of machine sending me places and moving my arms for me and things like that. I did have a manager for a couple weeks that they hired for me to try to manage me. I was unmanageable. It lasted 2 weeks.
Well, you had a manager already.
Yeah, I did.
That's Holy Spirit. That's what I was discovering at the same time.
They were trying to make me over, change my look and style. Oh, about 2 weeks into it, I was like, that's enough of that. Yeah. And I just declined. I'm sure they were disappointed. And Dan did the booking, and I'm very thankful. It's all worth it to be able to be a carrier of his presence and go to people. It's just a privilege, really.
Keeping those things clear kept you from getting swallowed up.
And, yeah.
You know, back then, people were leaving the record business to sing for Jesus.
I'll tell you, there's some people out there right now that I really appreciate.
Mm, me too.
Their heart. Mm-hmm. God always has a remnant.
That's right.
He always does. For all the surface trite stuff that goes on, there's at least that many that are a remnant of true worshipers.
Yeah.
I might mention my favorite, Matt Redman. People tell me, you know, you take me to a place in the Lord that nobody gets me there. It's so fast in their music.
Right.
And that's how I feel about Matt Redman. He does that for me.
Oh.
Yeah, he's just a straight arrow. And he came out of an incredible amount of pain in his home life. That might be the reason for the depth that's
Well, it
there.
Seems to go hand in hand a lot. Out of those lives comes the same product of fruitfulness that came from your brokenness, my brokenness, and Matt's brokenness.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
Every time the Word of God is opened and consumed, He's doing surgery on us.
Yes, amen.
He said, I tear you to heal you. So, yeah, it hurts.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's a disaster to your flesh.
To the flesh.
And to your expectations and to all that you were banking your life on.
Exactly, Terry. That's a good way to put it.
But He's got a new life for you.
Yes.
And we couldn't tell people what it was, but we could sing it.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, there's no way to articulate that in a 3-minute period of time. There's no way to do it. You'd have to write a whole bunch of books to say it. And of course, nobody's going to listen that long. But in 3 minutes, they can digest and go through a whole surgery.
I know. Isn't that a miracle?
And then wake up.
It's miraculous.
On the recovery table.
3-minute surgery. Maybe we should do an album called 3-Minute Surgeries.
3-Minute Surgeries. That's good. Now, didn't you go out to where you're living now to do some writing with other people?
Especially with my best friend, Renee Stamps.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of the reason why I ended up in Florence, Alabama, which also is home to Lenny and Sherry LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys.
Yeah,
oh,
they're just down the road.
I sing Lenny's songs all the time.
Oh, me too.
I mean, Sunday morning, I just did We Stand in Awe of Your Presence.
Oh, my gosh. I love that song.
That is powerful.
And There Is None Like You.
Did that one, too.
Yep.
It was the Lenny show.
He's a blessing. Anyway, he's in the same town. And I went there to have a feeling of family. I didn't feel compelled to move back to my hometown in Florida where my brother is or to St. Pete where my sister is. So I don't know, sometimes there's people that are like family to you know.
Yeah, closer than a brother.
Yeah, and you eat Thanksgiving meals at their house and Christmas dinner and, you know, they're like your family. Well, that's how Renee and her parents and her kids and all of them, her whole family is to me. And the style is so different than what I generally do. It leans more towards hill country music, you know, like bluegrassy. We were just determined to do some recording, you know.
Yeah.
And so a friend of hers named Barry Billings plays guitar, dobro, and other stuff still. And he had a recording machine. What we did was we practiced at her house, and we began to set up microphones, catching room recorded music. And we started in her house and ended up at her parents' farmhouse, where there's only furniture. Nobody lives in there. And the walls are wooden, and the floors are wooden. And we set up mics, and we had some more people come in, banjo player, and a guy with impeccable rhythm playing the snare, you know, just a snare with brushes. I would play the mandolin, and which is my hobby. And Renee plays guitar. Barry plays guitar. He also plays dobro. We cut about six songs, seven at the most. And they're in the mixing stage.
They are now?
Yeah. It's been a long haul because of getting everybody's schedules together.
Yeah, sure.
But Barry is mixing it. Not sure. I think it's going to be called Angel Dance.
Really?
Yeah. There's a song that Renee wrote that was inspired when she saw my daughter's picture on the Paga CD, dancing in a field. And she wrote it about her. It's so sweet. These songs are just so sweet and so different. Renee, I just have an incredible amount of respect for her, and she doesn't even know what she has. She just sings what she feels.
So you both sing on these songs?
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I overdubbed some third harmonies.
Yeah.
One song, her son overdubbed some third harmonies and played on.
Wow.
They're very fresh and very unique in their outlook on things.
Great.
That's what I like about her. She gets inspired just at the drop of a pen to call something what she sees it and write a song about it.
I think that type of music, it's just so open for it that it just kind of pours through.
Oh, yeah. It's very,
because
very
it just brings it out of you. Pulls it out of you. I remember that as a kid. Powerful stuff comes out because you're just talking plain English. You're not trying to impress anybody. It's just coming right out of real life. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
And when it's that way, then the Lord can just say whatever he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Me too.
So there's seven songs?
Six or seven. I'd have to sit here and try to think of the titles of the songs to count it up.
So you've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, since I first got there a year ago, July. But like I said, our schedules going different directions, you know, was the hardest thing. But Barry's been very busy. And so he's trying to get it mixed. That's what he told us at our little fish fry we had recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a fish fry. It was so fun.
I miss those.
Yeah.
So that's been a great shift for your life, to just get engaged in that.
Yes, it helped heal me from some things, such as the death of my daughter.
Yeah.
It helped take me into something totally interesting and that just got my attention and held my attention away from the sorrowing and the grieving. And I mean, I grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved. And I finally, you know, had to do what my grief counselor told me. She said, you need to find something to put your mind on
that
so your body can get well.
Yes.
And I never heard of anything like that. Something
Well, your mind is just pumping your body with chemicals.
Yeah. So anyway, man, I was so happy when we started doing that music. Then I started, this is going to get funny, but I started going to a little church and I really felt led of the Lord, and I still do. And I felt like the Lord said, stay here and help them with their music. But I got invited to a cowboy church.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's called the West Lauderdale Cowboy Church.
They're fun.
Yeah, they believe in fun, I tell you. And I play my mandolin on the worship team.
Do you really?
Yeah. So I'm like with it, with the guitars, you know. I'm chinking right along, you know.
Wow. And did singing. Did an old cowboy from Texas play with you sometime?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'll,
that would be fun. If you can get Will to come over and we can jam.
I know. That would be fun.
Do some hooting and hollering and some deep worship.
Yes. Mary, the pastor's wife, she's one of my best friends. She ran into Lenny, and she asked Lenny, Lenny, will you come over and sing at our church? And he said, yes.
Of course.
He said he would. So we're trying to get Lenny and my son, who plays bass and lives in Franklin, right outside of Nashville, to come at the same time. And
that's wonderful. And that answers some of my questions about what's happening now in a very active, illustrative way. I mean, you're telling me what the Lord's doing with the church thing and Renee and the project and all of that.
It's humorous at times, especially when the dog named Cookie comes to church. We have a dog come in and sit on the front
dogs
row.
Dogs are Christians.
I mean, he come waddling in, smacked himself down on the front row. And I remember this is when I was first going there. I'm trying to figure the place out, you know.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're letting a dog come in. And I'm playing the mandolin and I'm thinking these things. And I'm going, what are they going to do now? The people on the front row leaned over and started petting him and roughing up his little ears and, you know, just welcomed him in the service. Anybody that'll welcome a dog in the service is okay with me.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of gives us encouragement, doesn't it? We might be okay.
Oh, yeah. I just want to add that we baptize people in horse troughs.
Yeah.
And
what do you fill them with?
Warm water.
Okay, good.
And we sing happy trails at the end of every service. We call the children up, and we all sing happy trails. Yeah, and that's how we end every service. It's the Lord be with you, cowboy style.
Yeah. Now, I've been to a few cowboy churches.
Have you?
Yeah. I thought they were kind of connected.
Yeah, it's just called the Fellowship of Cowboy Churches.
Yeah.
And I think it was birthed in Texas somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, they sure believe. Yeah, they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And their heart is to reach others, you know, to reach everyone.
Yeah.
And they
and it's probably more effective to be aggressive for the gospel as a cowboy. There's something about it, disarming and real. And
very disarming.
Common people, working people kind of thing. And that's where I grew up. And, you know, my mom was from a very hard-working family, and they were all cowboys. They were all,
in fact,
my grandfather was one of the last real cowboys to get off the range, you know, full-time being out on the range.
Really?
And they didn't know anything but hard work. Anyway, what's happening right now? You see, I'm talking to somebody who actually knows what I'm saying, not just theoretically, but personally, when I say this is a conversation with Jesus. And the vocabulary that comes out into a song is the expression of the actual worship that's already gone on, that's going on. But what I love to do is dig into that conversation with him. Because I think the more we articulate those things with the other body parts, we get stronger and we find out we're not alone. We're confirmed with the facts of the kingdom in the natural world, in our practice of his presence.
Yes.
Part of that is to say those things to him openly so the other body parts can go through that threshold with you and them to do it, and you can go through the threshold with them, because that's what a body has to do, right? I mean, your arm can't go through a threshold by itself. The rest of your body's got to go through there too. Otherwise, you're coming apart, right? So I'm wondering, you know, as I describe that, it may be too private, it may be too early for some things to be articulated, but there's probably some things the Lord and you are talking about right now that would be very important for me to hear. And if we don't do this, I've started to understand it well enough to know that what we're doing is robbing each other of the life fluids, the spirit that wants to flow between us and give us life as an organism. So if there's something going on that you can articulate a little bit, some passage that he's drawn you through or that he's recently drawn you through that you could put into words, that would be such a simple way for his life in you to be out loud.
Yeah. Well, my life is truly humble, and I'll tell you why, because the definition of humble is dependent, totally dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just live a humble existence in Alabama, and one of the trials that I go through that keeps me humble
mm-hmm.
is that I have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of my mm-hmm. everyday reality, is trusting God for my sanity.
Yeah.
Daily. I mean, if you can't move off that spot, you have a right to say you're humble, you know.
Right.
I'm just dependent
yeah.
on God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dependent on his presence. I'm dependent on the things he's provided for me to deal with this disorder, such as medication.
Mm-hmm.
I am dependent on him for every breath, just like everybody is. They just don't realize it a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically try to remember to trust him each day and not worry mm-hmm. or fret or be afraid.
Yeah.
And the scripture that comes to my mind is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine mm-hmm. own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Yes.
That is the story of my life, my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to be proud of. I'm not saying this because I'm proud that I trust him. I'm saying I'm trying to trust him every day.
Yes.
I live trying to trust him. I live being kept dependent
mm-hmm.
upon him.
Yes.
And in the midst of that, if I can be available in mm-hmm. some way to touch someone else's life,
mm-hmm.
it's a miracle.
Yeah, it is.
At my age, I don't get around that often. I don't get out and around the country as mm-hmm. often as I used to.
Right.
I've enjoyed coming out here, out to mm-hmm. California. I've tried to make that a habit here mm-hmm. for about a year and a half. I'm going to try to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
But even trusting the Lord for those opportunities to be available
mm-hmm.
is an everyday thing. You know that.
Yes.
I don't get as many calls as I used to get. And, you know, I kind of was out of circulation when I stayed home for 15 years
yeah.
homeschooling my kids. And
yeah.
So they say out of sight, out of mind. And some of my friends have tried to console me at times because I have kind of grieved and
mm-hmm.
and moaned over not being called as often as I used to be,
yeah.
you know. But they encourage me to get out there. So if I can keep dealing with being healthy in every way
mm-hmm.
each day and staying dependent upon the Lord and being available to reach out,
mm-hmm.
that's about all I can do, Terry. It's just mm-hmm. real simple.
Well, that's, I know this is going to sound very strange to most people, but you're very blessed to have been chosen for this illustration to whoever's watching. That dependency is what God was offering to everyone. Right from the beginning of his conversation with his prized creation. And of course, we know that that was broken, that pure dependency on him was broken. But I do believe with all my heart that he designed that opportunity knowing exactly what was going to happen, and then he designed everything around his plan of grace, only approved by two-thirds of heaven. There was a whole one-third, including Lucifer, would not vote for this plan, because his belief is that you must dominate. You have to create the dependency. You can't give the option. And if you know that about Lucifer, then you can recognize him anywhere he's at, because some way or another, he's cheating you of your option to choose by offering what you think you want or what he's made you think you need. But my point is that if God chose his own son for what he went through, and his son understood that he was going to go through exactly what he went through, and that's why he came, but for the joy set before him, he suffered the cross. Now, there are so many parallels in us that nobody would believe it. I mean, we've almost got to be twins. But you know what? There's thousands of us. There's millions of us that have not had anyone to tell them that this is a special mission. Because of his investment in you, he felt free to choose you for this mission, because he knew that his investment would pay off. And it's paying off, sis. It's really paying off. And we both have to understand this, that it doesn't pay off in the currency that we think it pays off.
It sure doesn't.
And that includes the calls. That includes the calls. Because he takes us to whoever he wants to send us to. Because he's talking to them. From your lips, from your life, he's talking to them, and he wants to be in your skin there, using your lips and your life and your brokenness and your bipolar or whatever they want to call it, that brings you to this special place of dependency in him, which is the Garden of Eden. It's the taste of eternity with him. And only in our flesh do we feel that that's painful. In our spirit, there's joy overflowing. And it's a fountain that's bubbling over into the lives that you're with.
Praise God.
And it's painful for us because it's such hard work. Mm. I'll tell you something really that sounds totally unspiritual. But when the movie Beautiful Mind came out, that's a true story, you know.
Yes.
That's our life. Now, humility is seeing everything the way it really is, including your little friends that are coming up and having their conversation with you, getting you to do stupid things. And you don't think they're stupid because you think they're important. But then in the process, the dependency on the Holy Spirit, which is the only source of the sanity that you're talking about.
Yes.
There's only sanity in him and from him and through him. And him in us is our hope of glory, which is him being seen in the natural world through our physical life here.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Well, I loved that story because through it, the Lord told me how to handle those other creatures, actors, apparitions. Not that I'm seeing beings in the room right now, but they're here. I just don't have to talk to them. That was the brainstorm for me. They can walk through the room, and that idea or that thought or impulse or temptation, it can just walk through the room, and I don't have to even notice. I don't have to address it.
Feelings.
I don't have to take care of it. I don't have to deal with it. I don't even have to give it the time of day. I can just keep my eyes on reality.
Right.
The reality. I can look that direction and not be drawn aside to look at the other stuff that's available for me.
Right.
Anytime God is present, there's no competition, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a competition going on.
Right.
The devil's no competition for him.
Right.
So why are these things distracting me?
Right.
And so the question to the prophet, how about this? Will this move you?
Yeah.
Will this take you off the track? How about this? See, that's what this life is all about.
Yep.
And you're in the game.
I am.
Kelly Willard.
Thank you.
You are on the front line of the battle openly so that anybody can see. And because they can see, they're hearing the thing that by hearing, you believe.
Yeah.
So how do you hear? Well, somebody's sent.
Somebody says so.
Broadcast it. To openly do it and go, I don't care about anything else. This is it, and let's do it. And yes, it hurts, and it's so miserable in times, but it's the real thing.
Amen.
Come on. You can do it too.
Amen.
But we don't invite people to it because we think, they'll kill me, you know, if they start hurting like I do.
Right.
They start having to work so hard. But that's what this life is for. It's a test. Okay, will this stop you? What did Jesus say to the churches in Revelation? To those who overcome to the end.
Hang
in there. They're in the game to the end. Oh boy, you got something coming that you can't even imagine. And sis, I won't even start to try to describe to you what's in store for you. And does this present discomfort even compare with the glory? Even in the glory that's happening through your hard work to keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your sanity and be functional and be open.
Mm.
And there has to be an understanding that dependency is our only life. And that became clear at a certain point for both of us. And what we did after that has been a process of making inevitable the focus on the Lord as the answer to every question so that our life will show that this isn't a ride in the park. This is a transformation from death to life. And yes, that hurts. And we can rejoice in it. And that's some of the biggest irony for people in the words of Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't know how to handle that.
I think what I talk about, like when you asked me if you had anything, and I just blurped out the bipolar disorder struggle.
Yeah.
I think that it wouldn't even be welcomed on the set of
people are scared
most... Christian talk show programs to talk about, because I am not really, I probably am not seen as victorious enough.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And yet, I am victorious. That's at the victory. End of every day, yes, I made it through this day. Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord's smile is so big. Once you've seen His smile, you just don't want baloney anymore.
For sure. That's a good way to put it. There's days when I cry. I just cry.
Yeah.
So it's just maybe not seen as victorious enough. And there's things I try not to think about so I won't get down.
Sure.
That's work. Try to fill my mind with scriptures instead.
Yes.
And worship music. But the Lord is my friend.
Yes.
He's with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in my suffering, I feel Him the closest.
Yes.
I mean, that's weird, but...
That's scripture.
I've had mountaintop experiences,
mm-hmm.
but I lose my balance up there.
Yep.
Right. You know, and then I find He's the lily of the valley.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go take a whiff of that lily of the valley.
Yes, that's coming soon. I love Oswald Chambers. He's got to be one of my most pervasive mentors. And he says that the Lord gives us those mountaintop situations so that we can live it out in the valley. And that doesn't mean act like you're victorious all the time. That doesn't mean putting on an act like there's nothing wrong when everything is wrong.
Right.
It doesn't mean acting like anything, putting on all the time, posing. Nothing is more repulsive than that. And if you're in the valley, the last thing you want to see is an actor.
Yes.
It has no value. Richard Wurmbrand,
who was
tortured for 14 years and lived in a pit for years on end with nothing but a rag on his back and a bucket in the hole. And they put him in the terminal ward because everybody was dying. And he didn't die, but everybody in there went to heaven because he was in there. And he wept when he left that prison because he thought his ministry was over. I mean, this guy said, there's no dogma in the concentration camp. There's no dogma in the pit. There's no dogma in the terminally ill part of the prison.
Right.
Some of his torturers were in there dying.
Right.
And he helped them walk right into heaven
from that room. Oh, my gosh.
Not a single one of them went where they were deserving to go.
Gosh.
They knew the mercy and the grace of God because he was chosen. Because
he showed it.
Be there. Just be there.
Wow.
And when I ministered with him, he couldn't wear shoes. They would help him onto the stage so that he could sit and talk through the mic like what you're doing right now. And you're just crippled in a different way. You've been tortured a different way, but you can have the same joy. Before he died, his only question for me, when I told him that I'd gone to Romania, he said, did you go to the Orthodox or any of them listening?
Wow.
He said also that if you're not teaching people to die, they don't know how to live.
Wow, that's pretty huge.
And we've tasted that same flavor, and it actually is the whiff of the lily of the valley. Because that crushed rose lives in us.
Yes.
Lives in you. Because I see him, I hear him every time I see and hear you.
Thank you, Terry. And of course, the feeling's mutual.
Now, would you mind very much to go to the piano and sing a couple of songs for us?
I don't mind at all.
Well, these would be two of my newest songs.
And just sing something that everybody would...
A third song?
Remember, too. Would you?
Really? A third song?
Would you?
Such as that?
Yeah.
Now, which one should I play right this second?
That one you were doing.
Okay, Keep Me Broken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep me near you. You keep me faithful. let me hold her the way the Father would. Daddy was abandoned when he was a child. He studied through the eighth grade, then went a little wild. He did a lot of damage, but he did a lot of good. His father let me love him the way that Jesus would.
It's been a rich pleasure to spend this time with Kelly Willard, and it may be that you might want to spend some more time with her yourself. When we encounter someone who's been through some of the same experiences that we have, the spirit in them is a strong magnet. The open fellowship together is medicine for our souls. It's possible that Kelly could be just the kind of medicine needed for your church or worship gathering, and you'd like to connect with her and schedule that. You've heard her heart's intention and how willing she is, even in the midst of the daily struggle, to be available to be a vessel for the very same transforming comfort with which she's been comforted. If so, it's a very simple thing to do right on the internet. Go to kellywillard.com, KellyWillard, no space, .com, and at the bottom of the page, you'll find the contact information.